Good morning.
Morning.
We're going to go ahead and call the Duval delegation meeting to order at this time. You've already taken the roll, right? No. We'll go ahead and take the roll and allow our members to introduce themselves quickly. And we'll start to the right.
Janet Atkins, House District 11.
Charles McBurney, House District 16.
Oh, crap. Where are our senators?
Good morning, Blake Gray, House District 12, and Senator B is calling me.
Let us know.
Jay Fant, District 15.
Go get him.
Representative Jones, District 14.
Reggie Bullwood, District 13.
All right, we're going to hold on 1 second and see where our senators are.
We just need a quorum for voting purposes, right? Or do we need a quorum to start the meeting?
That's a good point.
We just changed the rules.
We just changed it so we can go on and do it.
Yeah.
Oh, we changed it because we got to have it now.
Yeah.
Yeah, we did. I was on that committee.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Senator Bean is on his way, so if you all will just give us a moment, we'll be ready to start.
Sanctuary cities. That's probably going to take up about an hour and a half. That'll be the biggest issue.
Yeah.
Very nice.
Okay.
So that's going to be.
Trust Larry's ability to boil things down to the necessary thing.
It's just a lot of. Just have a lot of.
We just have two speakers that I have so far.
Who were the two?
You can change this
sometimes. Do we have any of the blue cards with
us? I put the speaker forms outside the door.
And if we have anyone else that's interested in speaking, if you could fill out one of the speaker's cards, and which are right outside of the door, and Senator Bean is here.
Here.
And we will go ahead and get started. Today's meeting is specifically to hear from the City of Jacksonville as it relates to the proposed pension bill that will be before the House and the Senate this session. And I felt it was important for the delegation to hear at the same time the presentation of this bill, and if there were any questions or concerns that we had, that we would all get the same answers at the same time, as well as have an opportunity to hear from the public if there were any speakers that were interested in doing that. So at this time, I'm going to go ahead and have Carrie Stewart, Chief of Staff for the Mayor, to begin.
Good morning, Madam Chair. Thank you all for having me here today. First, I want to go through what you have in front of you, because I will be referencing it once or twice during my brief presentation, because I really would like to turn this over any questions that you may have about the bills. The packet that is stapled is simply a one-pager that we are using around the community. We are using it as leave-behinds when we're making presentations, whether it's to the Police and Fire Pension Fund, which we did present to last week, or other community groups as we're out trying to explain what these bills represent. Behind that is a listing and excerpts from an Ernst & Young report that was done on the financials of the City of Jacksonville. Behind that is a listing of all municipalities in the state of Florida and their unfunded actuarial liability to demonstrate where we are on that list. It's not very hard to figure out. I know the font is pretty small, but the two highlighted lines will demonstrate where Jacksonville falls with the rest of the state. Behind that is a unanimous resolution by the Jacksonville City Council supporting the bills as they are currently drafted. And then behind that is a bit of media coverage on Mayor Curry's plan. The longer charts that you have that are not, or yours are stapled, mine are not, is a listing and a chart of what we're facing. And that's really what I wanted to talk to you about today, is the issue that we're facing in Jacksonville. In these long spreadsheets, what you have broken down by each of our three pension funds is what our normal cost is on an annual basis, what our unfunded actuarial liability cost is on an annual basis, and then it wraps it up in a summary on the next to last column of the total payment from the City of Jacksonville from the General Revenue Fund. The difference between the three spreadsheets, there are revenue projections of an extended surtax. So we'll get back to that spreadsheet in a moment. But again, we're here today because in the City of Jacksonville, we currently have an unfunded liability of $2.6 billion. That's all three of our pension funds. That's police and fire, general employees, and corrections. We are fully 25% of the entire state's unfunded liability. It's not a badge of honor. That is not a source of pride. It is a statement of fact. We have some backup information, as I said, in the packet that I'm leaving with you. So what is the remedy? What are we asking for? What is contained in House Bill 1297 and Senate Bill 1652? It is quite simply asking for an extension and repurposing of an already existing half-cent tax, better known in Jacksonville as the BJP tax. It is currently set to sunset in 2030. We would like to ask the voters to extend and repurpose that tax for the sole purpose of paying down this unfunded liability. Some of the key points of 1297 and 1652 include that new employees coming into any of the pension funds or coming into the city as employees, whether they're corrections officers, police and fire employees, or general employees, would be precluded from enrolling in the existing defined benefit plans that the surtax would be paying down. Also key to these two bills is that any county that wishes to take advantage of this new surtax must have an existing local government surtax in place that sunsets. We are simply extending, we are not raising. The pension liability surtax will expire when the pension is fully funded, so it does not put an artificial date on the end of it, but it is 100% funded, is what is considered fully funded as by the proposed legislation. The surtax must be approved by a majority of the electors in Jacksonville on a referendum. And I've said before, and we've attached the resolution from the Jacksonville City Council. It was co-sponsored by all 19 and was unanimously approved a few weeks ago, endorsing this plan to help us in Jacksonville with our issues. Are there any general questions about the proposed bills or any specific questions?
Representative Colwell.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just a quick question. The referendum, is it 50% or is it 60%?
I don't know. 50%. Okay. Yes, sir. Thank you.
Representative Backen.
Thank you. Can you real quickly go over the titles and what they mean?
Absolutely. Yes, ma'am. The top is obviously the fiscal year. Police and fire pension normal cost, police and fire pension unfunded liability payment, and then the total of those two, and then the extra police and fire pension as agreed to upon an agreement between the Police and Fire Pension Fund and the City of Jacksonville. There was an agreement passed in the last fiscal year that requires the City of Jacksonville to pay an additional $5 million in this year's budget, then $10 million, $15 million, and you see it escalates to $32 million. So it's an additional on top of normal cost and unfunded in an attempt to try to pay down that unfunded liability. Then the GEPP is the General Employee Pension Plan, normal cost, unfunded actuarial, and then the total for general employee. COPP is Correction Officers Pension Plan, unfunded actual, total, and then the total payments. The revenue stream is the projected revenue of the half cent tax, and the top sheet is estimating or projecting a 2% net tax growth. That's a 10-year average over the last 10 years. The second sheet is assuming a 4% sales tax growth, That's a 3-year average. I'm sorry, a 5-year average. And then a 6% sales tax growth projection, and that's a 3-year average. And the highlighted portion is 2030, and that is our current estimate of what the revenue would be coming into the city of Jacksonville in 2030 and 2031, based on those growth projections at 2%, 4%, and 6%.
The questions? Representative Fulwood?
Madam Chair, thank you, Ms. Stewart. So new employees, whether they're police, fire, general employees, would have more of a traditional 401k type of program that they would have to enroll in versus a pension?
That would be collectively bargained as the bills are currently structured. That leaves it to the county and the unions to negotiate. They just cannot go back into a defined benefit program that is receiving proceeds from this tax.
Any other questions? The question that I have is, and Senator Gibson has joined us. Thank you. Thank you, my dumb. Don't feel bad. You talk about the tax only going through the pension being fully funded, the unfunded liability being fully funded.
Yes.
What are the actuaries saying they're expecting that time frame to be?
Well, there are multiple scenarios, as you probably are well aware, and they are being run by the actuaries on multiple fronts with lots of different assumptions. The as proposed to Senator Bradley and Representative Cummings, we were looking at around 2060, so about 30 years. And that was what we felt were incredibly conservative assumptions going into that figure. So from 2030 to 2060. But as proposed, both pieces of legislation do not have a hard date. It is until the unfunded liability is 100% taken care of. The funds are 100% funded.
You indicate on the longer sheets the agreed upon contribution for police and fire. Will this stay in place, or will this also be renegotiated, the contribution of the $5 million to $10 million and so on?
That could potentially be renegotiated. It was a part of a settlement agreement between the Police and Fire Pension Fund and the city that changed benefits for current employees in the Police and Fire Pension Fund. So it could be renegotiated, but at this time there's no plan to.
Representative McBurney.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Under the proposal, and in response to a previous question, you said that new employees would not be in an existing defined benefit retirement plan or system that receives the surtax proceeds. It would be collectively bargained. Under the legislation, is there a possibility that what would be negotiated would be a new defined benefit retirement program, or are you talking about something entirely different?
The legislation is currently drafted in both the Senate and the House, leaves that to the negotiating table. It could be a defined contribution plan, it could be a new defined benefit plan, it could be an FRS situation if that was negotiated. The bills as currently drafted leave all of that to the table.
Thank you, Madam Chair. One of the questions I think we're going to be facing is if we enter into this, what assurances, what should we tell other legislators, what assurances are we going to have that some other city government down the road, years from now, that we would not end up in the same situation that we are in?
Well, the assurance comes from the faith in the government and the city government and negotiating at the table. We got in this mess over a series of decades of decisions that were made, so I can only say that going forward, we would negotiate in good faith with the unions at the table and take into account what we've learned from the past and the mistakes we've made and actuarial assumptions going forward, and not allow any plan to get us back where we are today.
Senator Bean.
Thank you. I don't know if trust in government is the correct answer.
Press the button. Representative Atkins.
Thank you. So on bullet number 3 down at the bottom, it says it will expire when the pension is fully funded. I recall earlier when I heard the discussions, it was either 2060 or when the pension was fully funded. So what would be your response to the taxpayers who, when they signed on, it was for 30 years? And now, of course, this will go back to a referendum, but when you're asking taxpayers to vote on something until something's fully funded, what are your thoughts on that? When there's not really a defined even estimate of when it's going to be fully funded?
We would respond that we would not object to having a hard stop date on it. As originally proposed, we projected that 2060 would cover us, and in a very conservative growth assumption in the revenue and very conservative actuarial studies of what the fund would look like going out into the future. So we wouldn't object to 2060. We proposed 2060 at the very beginning to give voters confidence that there would be a hard stop.
Other questions? Senator Gibson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just want to be clear on what the referendum language says then, because in a bill that leaves here that we would support or not, my expectation would that there would be certainty for the voters. And so I would want to see that there is a time certain, as we would in our everyday lives. You know, we don't want a paycheck this week that has this amount and one the next week that has something else. So how are we going to get to assuring the voters that there is definitely a time certain?
Senator, I would say it can be placed as an amendment in the bill. You can make a strong recommendation to the City Council. They'll be working on, if this is passed, the City Council will work on the actual language for the referendum. But placing it in the House and Senate bills as a hard stop at 2060, there would be no objection to that.
Representative Ray.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I guess the question back to you would be, wouldn't that be more something that winds up being negotiated back at the local level when you work through the details, that really that's kind of where that resolution stops? And at this point, this is more just looking at giving the city the options. Am I correct on that?
Yeah, the greater amount of flexibility that we have, we would appreciate. But we understand what we're asking the legislature to do. And so if there were concerns specific to the length of time for the tax or other concerns, we'd certainly be open to it. The greatest amount of flexibility has been given right now as the bills are currently drafted. So we're very pleased with the way they're drafted so that we can go back to Jacksonville and create a Jacksonville solution. But as I've stated, if there were items that this body were uncomfortable with, we would absolutely entertain them in an effort to extend this tax.
Any other questions? Representative Atkins.
So as I look at the spreadsheet, the normal cost, let's just take the column number 2 for the police and fire pension fund. Those numbers vary. For this year, we're looking at $36.5 million. When we look at 26, it's $47.6 million. So, but then it goes to a low of roughly $29 million. So help me understand how that's calculated at a high level.
Sure. The normal cost is calculated based on actuarial assumptions. Number of people within the fund, average age of the people in the fund, death rate calculations, earning rate calculations, or assumptions on the fund. And so each year we get, in essence, a premium that says that this is your normal cost for the benefits that are allowed within the contract of this fund. And all of those underlying assumptions are figured into that. And they change on a year-over-year basis because of all of those different factors.
Follow-up?
Thank you. So because of these different factors, you have an $18 million variance from 2040 to 2060. That's a pretty large variance.
Yes, ma'am, and these come directly from our actuary.
Senator Gibson?
Yes, thank you. I have two questions to ask. One is, how do the figures, in my terminology, jibe with those figures, the number or the amounts that have been collected under the BJP? Because we're using the same mechanism to put the money in the pot. And so have you looked at how these figures kind of compare to the collections for BJP?
Absolutely.
My understanding was that they were running short and there's some projects that weren't done.
If you'll take a look at the last column on the three long sheets, Senator. It shows the projected revenue stream starting in 2015, 2016. So it shows an actual tax, the revenue that was collected of $81 million on that first sheet. So the top sheet projects a 2% net growth in revenues. The second sheet assumes a 4% growth in revenues. And the last sheet assumes a 6% sales tax growth. And we chose those numbers because 2% growth is an average of the last 10 years, which includes the Great Recession. And so is a very conservative number, but that is the 10-year average. The 4% sales tax growth projection are based on a last five-year average. And the 6% sales tax growth is representative of the last 3 years' growth. And may I add, I want to answer another question. Ms. Atkins, it does go down in some of the later years. If you'll remember, last year there was a pension reform package signed in the police and fire specifically, and there were benefits that were negotiated that are different. So the employee contribution is going to go up. New employees coming on are going to have reduced benefits. And so those costs were projected to start going down. I'd forgotten about that piece. There was pension reform negotiated and passed in the last year that included that extra police and fire payment to the unfunded actual liability, but it also is requiring increased employee contributions and some other tweaks to the benefits that are causing some of that downturn in the normal cost.
Did you bring your actuarial person with you?
No.
No, okay.
Part two.
Senator, go ahead. Follow up.
Thank you. And the part two, and this may be part of the negotiation piece, because one of the concerns that I have in terms of a benefits package has to do with being able to recruit and retain the best and brightest, and also to look out for family in the event there's something catastrophic happens, particularly to our police and fire. Is that part of the negotiation phase?
Absolutely. It is part of the negotiation phase. And we do believe that when we free up general revenues, we can negotiate attractive starting pay, attractive raises. We can create a program, whatever that new retirement program looks like, that will be attractive to new hires. So we are confident that we can get to something that will attract and retain the best and the brightest in all of these different funds. But the important piece is the money that it does free up in general revenue that allows us to do a lot of other things with these employees. And those are pay raises, those are higher starting salaries, those types of things. But all of that will happen at the table. Yes, ma'am.
Follow up? Any additional questions?
Question.
Representative Atkins.
Thank you. So, on sheet one expression, the unfunded actuarial liability stops in 2039 or stops in 2044. Help me understand that particular column and how it just seems to disappear.
It is a calculation that is done by the actuarials for an aggressive way to pay down our unfunded actual liability. So it is, again, an actuarial calculation. If we're going to pay it down to become 100% funded in those number of years, and in case of a police and fire up to 2039, we would have to make those additional payments to normal costs to get us to 100% funded.
Follow up.
Okay, so then are you saying that in 2039 that the police and fire pension fund would be fully funded? Is that what you're saying?
No. Based on the most current actuarial projections, they only go out to 2039. So we will have full actuarial.
So they're just not being calculated?
That's correct.
Beyond 2039.
Yes, ma'am.
Senator Gibson?
I'm not a numbers kind of girl, but so if the sales tax is going to end in 2030,
yes.
But so what happens between? Why are there numbers here from 2030 to 2039 showing that it'll be fully funded by 39 and not by 30?
The revenue projections on the last column are simply, they are not calculated into any of the first columns. It is just simply showing when you see the highlighted in yellow, that is 2030 and 2031. So the revenue projection at that point is where we would pick up and we would apply it across the board. But those numbers on that revenue stream column are not currently applied in the calculation. So if you were to take the last column out, this is our projection for the future. We are asking that for the ability to apply that revenue from 2030 on to the problem that you see in all of the columns before you.
Questions?
Okay.
Questions? One question that I have is, and I haven't heard you say it today, but, and I may get this wrong, can you talk about the present value of the dollar and what you all are asking to do as it relates to the present value of the dollar versus the future?
Yes. One of the things that we are also asking for in the legislation is for the actuaries to be able to take into account those revenues from 2030 on and calculate that into that unfunded liability amount. And what it should do, if we are allowed to capture those funds from 2030 going forward, is lower that unfunded amount, thereby lowering our payment in today's general fund unfunded payments. So if you apply the revenue in 2030, 2031, and 2032 to the calculation of the unfunded liability, it lowers the amount that we're required to pay today.
Okay. Representative Atkins.
Thank you. So as I look in the next to last column on the right, total payment.
Yes.
And I look at the year 2039 to 2040, that number jumps from 433.9 million to 196 million. But what I think I hear you say is that that's not a real number, because what happened is that 232 million in the unfunded actual liability under the police fire pension fund is not calculated.
Correct.
From that point. Mm-hmm. So is it correct to say that you're not really expecting a decrease that large in the total payment in that year? That it's really something larger than that, but it's just not calculated that far out to the future?
That is correct.
Question? All right, while you all soak this all in, I'm going to go ahead and have our speakers, those that are interested in speaking, to come forward. Randy Wise from Jacksonville Association of Firefighters. Good to see you.
Good morning. Thank you, Madam Chair, the delegation. Appreciate the opportunity to do this. We've obviously had lots of conversation with the mayor's office about this plan. They brought us in early, showed us what their ideas were. When we saw the legislation, we're supportive of it as it is written. Devil's in the details, and we're actually drilling into that now. We're continually speaking with the mayor's office, you know, and some of the issues we have with it. We'll continue to do that. But at this point, we have totally accepted, we have for 7 years been accepted of a pension reform. What we've been through the last 7 years, reduced benefits for active employees. We've tried everything we can do. And this is a great idea of how to get to that unfunded at this point. So conceptually, we've supported 100%. That it's a great way to do that. We understand that is the issue that has to be dealt with now. We've dealt with those benefits, and looking forward to negotiating those in the future. As it does, as the bill's written now, really gives us a lot of flexibility to how we craft the future benefits of firefighters and police officers. So again, just to tell you that we are exceptionally supportive of it. We'll be watching as it moves through you know, the committees and what happens to it. There are some issues that are floating around that are problematic for us, but we'll address those as they occur. And I would accept any questions or anything out of me. And one issue also, Representative Atkins, about your questions, people die too. That's part of the reason of that downward with that downward turn. So as it moves in the future. Thank you for your service. We appreciate it.
Any questions for Mr. Wise? I had a question for you. I have to give my delegation the first shot at it. You indicated that there are some things that are floating around that you're concerned about.
The DC component is problematic, if that does occur. A defined contribution piece. Yes.
Okay. And you anticipate being able to negotiate that at the table, and would that be correct?
Yes, ma'am. Anything at the table. I mean, you know, it's wide open. That's really why we like it the way it is. When we were brought in early, before even the bill was even filed, there was a DC component that might have been in there, came out, it wasn't there, and that really gave us a lot more flexibility from that aspect of being able to get to the table, too. And there are a lot of innovative ways to do. You know, people kind of get streamlined on what could happen. There are a lot of different things that could occur as it relates to firefighters and police officer benefits in the future. So it's wide open. Okay. And that helps us. That really does help us.
Okay. Senator Gibson?
Forgive me if I don't quite get it, but so do the negotiations follow the vote on the referendum, or do they come ahead of
it
the vote?
Could either way. Very good question. Something we're exploring.
Okay.
What will determine that?
What is the firefighter's best way to move forward will determine that. Still drilling into the aspects of how, as Senator Gibson said about worrying about the future of employees and their families, making sure that is the foremost concern that we have, that will protect those futures, those future employees.
Any other questions for Mr. Wyatt? Thank you so much for coming over, and we would ask that you keep us posted.
Yes, ma'am, we will. Appreciate it.
Next, we have Steve Zona with the FOP.
Good morning, and thank you for the opportunity to speak. My name is Steve Zona. I'm the president of Fraternal Order Police Lodge 530 in Jacksonville. We realize that this is the biggest issue facing Jacksonville right now. And again, we've had many meetings with the mayor and his staff, and we do conceptually support the bill as it's written. We like the bill as currently written. We've had issues come up, and we've met with the mayor and his staff. We've worked through many of those issues, and we'd like to be a part of the solution moving forward. Like President Wise says, we do have, over the last couple of days, we do have a couple issues and concerns that we're going to bring back to the mayor and speak to him about. We'd rather not bring the problems to you guys. We'd rather work with the mayor. We've given him our word. We'd work with him to get this through and make it work. So we'd like to sit down with him and talk to him and then bring back the solutions to you guys. So we are in conceptual support of this bill as written.
Any other questions for Mr. Zona? Thank you so much. Do we have anyone else in the audience that wishes to speak? No one else? All hearts and minds clear? At least? Not totally clear, kind of foggy, maybe? What I would like to say as we prepare to close out is that I know, as we've heard the presentation today and over the past few weeks, the discussion of funding being freed up within general revenue and what would happen with those funds. I know that's not specifically laid out in the bill, but I would like to ask the administration to, one of the benefits of the Better Jacksonville plan was that it gave the community a reference point. It gave them a list of what was going to happen and how it was going to happen and what they could expect, something that they could go back to and question and hold accountable. And so I would ask that the same be the case as we're going forward for possible extension of this tax. And if the tax is extended and you're freeing funding up for other things, that the community know what those other things are and that they would be able to see that in writing and be able to hold the administration accountable to making sure those things happen. That's very important for me. If Senator Gibson.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and I would like to echo those comments, and particularly as it relates to indigent health care. Yes, I'm bringing that up. And part of the reason, too, is because when you talk about, you know, everyone kind of sharing the pain in a sales tax world, still the impact is harder on lower income families, because they tend to buy a little at a time and then go back and back and back. And so I want to make sure that there is a commitment to all of the people in Jacksonville, including those who have to spend a lot of their time in an emergency room for their health care. Thank you.
Any closing comments from any of our delegation members? There being none, our meeting is adjourned. Thank you.
Thank you.